And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. You can check them out for those of you locally in the Borderland region here in El Paso at 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard. You can also find them on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L Athletic. And you can also find them on their website at physicalathletics.com. My next guest joining us via the Sun City Prep Academy hotline, she is a young up-and-coming coach, a coach that I've been able to strike a great friendship with, great relationship with, big fan of hers and what she's doing, what she's trying to do in her second year at Bethany Lutheran College, Coach Emma Morris. Emma, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Excited that we have you here. Episode 10. All right, so we made it to episode 10. We're not fired yet. So great to have you. We're excited to have you, and we're going to dive right in. So first question I have for you is, so you are originally from, let's see if I get this right, Richmond, North Yorkshire. Is that correct, England?
That's correct.
Look at me. All right. this interview is over. All right. I've done my job. All right. No, I'm just kidding. So you're originally from Richmond, North Yorkshire, which, and I'll let you explain to everybody where exactly that is in a minute. But during that time, you've obviously had family back overseas in the UK, in England. But can you describe what your experience has been like in leading your college program at Bethany Lutheran College while also having family overseas during COVID?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, for me personally, so I am from England, and Richmond is really in the northeast of England, and I don't have any family in the States. So for me, obviously, keeping in contact with family just while everything's going on and making sure that, you know, everyone's okay, and, you know, obviously while looking after the girls as well, and my coaching staff have done an awesome job of that as well. Has been huge. I mean, you know, there's nothing really more precious in life, is there? So, you know, it's been a tough year for a lot of people, and obviously we really want to kind of find the positives in it. And luckily for me, you know, we haven't seen too much devastation as a family, so I know we're some of the lucky ones. So, you know, obviously our hearts go out to those who have lost family members during this time. But yeah, just trying to keep up to date and, you know, using the lovely thing called the internet to make sure that everyone's doing good.
All right. Awesome. And you've been able to, do you feel during this time, all things considered, you've been able to kind of manage and lead your program relatively well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously this has been the year of change. It's the year of the pivot. You know, in really how we do things, and it's also given us a good, you know, opportunity to really dig deep and have a look at what we want to do differently and how maybe we are going to conduct things differently after this year. And obviously recruiting is a big one, right? I mean, you know, I can't think of one video call I ever, you know, completed it with the recruit until this year. And to be honest, I don't think it's going away now. And I love that because I love the in-person, you know, the opportunity to see facial expressions and really kind of get an idea as to, you know, are they feeling what we're talking about? Are they not? You know, where are they at? And also the opportunity for me to, you know, kind of show my enthusiasm and passion for this team and this school and, you know, what we're trying to do here. So, I love it, and I definitely hope it doesn't go away. I definitely want to continue with Zoom after this COVID pandemic goes away.
Yeah, so you're now in year two there at Bethany Lutheran College. So for our listeners, Bethany Lutheran College is a D3 program located in Mankato, Minnesota. So here you are in year two, and it's obviously very, very different from year one, right? So pre-COVID, you know, COVID, and then what will eventually be kind of, you alluded to, is post-COVID. How has that been going? How have you been navigating that from year one to year two, getting ready for your, you know, we'll talk about a little bit more your spring season later in year two, and then hopefully, you know, year three post-COVID?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a challenge for sure, but you know, I think all challenges can be good if we make them good. And you know, I think that's really the mindset we've had is let's find the positives in this and move forward. Obviously, year one, the challenge really was I came in April 2019 and didn't have too much time to recruit, obviously, ready for August. And you know, was really trying to kind of come in and implement some things that obviously I wanted to change right away, and also hold off on some other things that maybe I didn't want to kind of implement, you know, too soon. And I definitely didn't want to do too much too soon, for sure. You know, whereas I guess the second year has been, you know, the year where we thought we were going to start really trying to implement certain things in certain ways. And obviously, you know, the pandemic really made us change those plans. And, you know, it's been more so about, like I say, the pivot and figuring out, you know, what matters to us most this year. And to be honest, I think, you know, any coach out there will just say, look, you know, the love for the game, that's got to be number one right now. You know, if we're talking soccer specific, of course, there's other things that matter in life too, but you know, we're talking soccer, then yeah, I mean, the love of the game has to be that number one. You got to have a passion, you know, and our girls, it's just about trying to give them the opportunity to play. I think that we've just realized how precious it is to be able to get on a ball and, you know, as a team, and not being pods and not have, you know, have the social distancing and things, you know, just getting to play. And obviously, you know, every day is a constant reminder of the pandemic. So just getting a few minutes away from that is definitely nice. While, you know, obviously we are, you know, testing and doing everything to keep the girls safe and healthy, but yeah, just the love of the game. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. So obviously, you know, you're no stranger to the college recruiting world, and every division, you know, whether you're talking D1, D2, D3, you know, JUCO or NAIA, excuse me, they all have their own, I guess, you know, their own obstacles, their own hurdles, their own, you know, restrictions, rules, regulations, everything, and so on. But during this, obviously, in terms of the dead period, it's not really applicable to D3 programs, obviously. But during the pandemic and the college recruiting period during this time, what would you say has been kind of the significance of it, in terms the significance on Bethany Lutheran College, in terms of maybe the big positive, you know, that you took from it, and I don't know, maybe even a negative that you kind of picked up on along the way?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I really touched on it a little bit earlier. Obviously, the positive, especially for me, is just the opportunity to really have face-to-face conversations versus maybe the phone calls and the texts. Yeah, I'm definitely, like I say, a more of an in-person, you know, communicator, and I enjoy being able to see reactions and things like that. And also, you know, even with parents, I think that with it in video, the parents are more likely to actually be on the calls now versus maybe in the background of a call and not really kind of, you know, letting us know that they're there or whatever. And whereas now it's more like, hey, this is my mom, this is my dad, this is grandpa, you know what I mean? So that's been a really cool part of it. It's just getting to really see and hear people and see reactions. Obviously, I think a big downside is obviously the fact that there's been less opportunity to physically go and visit campuses, right? I mean, if I'm a recruit, I want to be seeing these places. I want to make sure that it's the right feel, the right atmosphere, especially as women. I think that, you know, something that's really important is the kind of emotional aspect attached to visiting a campus. And that's something that a lot of people have struggled with this year to do. But again, you know, finding the positives, well, hey, I mean, our admissions, you know, staff have done a wonderful job of making sure that we have a virtual tour online for everybody. They've been doing virtual meetings, you know, kind of the same way I've been doing recruiting calls virtually. They've been meeting with recruits virtually, and you know, giving them the same information that really they would get if they come to campus. So yeah, it's kind of twofold, right? I mean, it's kind of a positive and a negative all at once, is the kind of virtual aspect. So yeah, I think that's been probably the biggest one. Obviously the fact that players aren't necessarily playing, and especially those who aren't playing, who didn't already have video of some kind, you know, that's obviously been a tough thing for them. You know, because it's really hard if you can't get to see a player, you know, via, you know, either in person or virtually, or video wise, you know, it's really hard to get an idea. You've really got to build those coach connections at that point and really trust that what you're being told is accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we know this a little bit, but in speaking with you and knowing a little bit more about your background, but in terms of sharing with our listeners, so coaching is in, you know, it's in your blood. It runs in your family. You come from a family of coaches. Your dad is still coaching, if I understand it correctly. Is that right?
Yeah, actually. So he's not, since the pandemic, he's only really working with a very local team. So yeah, he's not so much anymore, but yeah, he definitely used to be. And I think the beauty is seeing him, you know, kind of being back in the local leagues and recruit and coaching that way. So
right. Okay.
Yeah, my dad's a coach.
Yeah. Well, and where I was going with that is you've also, obviously it's in your blood, it's in your DNA, and the ability to also identify talent, right? Talent ID. So in that, you've shown, I know this personally, in working with you, collaborating with you, but you've shown a significant, or I guess a tremendous interest in recruits and prospective, you know, student athletes here in the state of Texas. My question to you is, maybe for student athletes and our parents that are listening, is why?
Yeah, you know, that's a very good question. I think for me personally, I guess, you know, being an international, I definitely have a little bit of a different perspective on things. You know, the way that I see it is that the more people from different cultures and backgrounds, whether that be with soccer or whether that be family, you know, where you live, that kind of stuff. You know, I want to create an environment where it's not just coaches coaching players, right? We're mentors for these ladies, and also we want them to learn from each other and to pass on their knowledge to one another. And, you know, for example, we've got players right now that, you know, internationals. We have a girl from Canada, a girl from Spain, and a girl from Colombia that, you know, obviously they have different experiences to bring to the table. And, you know, we have girls from out of state, Hawaii, California, Colorado, you know, that obviously, again, bring that kind of different background in the soccer sense, but also in other ways. And we just want to create really a learning environment for everybody. And I think that's, you know, obviously, we're missing a Texan, right? We have a Texan on the team to really kind of give their values. I mean, you know, just from everything that I've learned about Texans as well, they're very family driven, family orientated, they're cultural diverse, you know, they're really passionate. And that's what we want. That's what we need on our team. And that's what we're looking for, you know, outside of obviously the soccer, the academics, you know, it's the person, it's who they are, it's what they're going to bring to the table and what they're going to be able to take away from other players on our team as well. So, yeah, I think that's a big reason. I definitely see that a lot. I hear it in their coaches, right? You know, high school, club, and definitely just, you know, every recruit call I have with a Texan, it's always that same way of passion and excitement and, you know, a bit of anxious, yeah, as well, you know, ready for what's ahead and the unknown. And, you know, we want to be a part of that with them. We want to help them through that and mentor them throughout, you know, not only the 4 years, right, and get that, you know, good degree at the end of it, but also in life, right? We're not just coaches, we're mentors too, and we want them to do well in everything that they put their minds to.
That's awesome. That's great. Okay, so talk talk a little bit more. You've already spoken to it a bit, obviously, but give us a little bit of a visual. All right. So for that parent out there that's listening, that coach, that high school coach or club coach, may not know too much about, you know, Bethany Lutheran, give us a little bit of a snapshot of visual in terms of, you know, just the school life academically, and then also, you know, what can a recruit expect when they sign up to play for Bethany Lutheran and Coach Emma Morris?
Yeah, good question. Thanks for asking. I mean, obviously we're a small school. We have about 650 to 700 students on campus. You know, with that, obviously you get the lower, student to faculty ratio and the opportunity to ask questions and get to know the professor. And you're not just a number, right? There's no one that's going to kind of slip through the cracks. I mean, you know, as a coaching staff, we're very big on academics. You know, we like the girls to succeed in the classroom. We want them to. We have systems in place to make sure that happens. And, you know, as a parent, that's what I want my kid going to, right? I want them to be somebody that the coach holds accountable and make sure that they're doing the right things off the field as well as on. And I think that, you know, being a small school, a small campus, we're definitely family feel, you know, we're the kind of place where you're going to probably see one of your professors in the stands at a game cheering you on. And, you know, to me, that's cool. And, you know, they get to know you as a person and not just a student. And the same with the coaching staff, you know, we get to know them as people and not just players. So that's definitely what you'll find. Obviously, you know, our academics are really good, and we have programs that really, you know, not only provide the education, but they provide life skills and opportunities to really see that player then go into the workplace or go to grad school and excel, right? They're not just getting by, right? They're excelling. And that's what we're finding with our alumni too, is that they really are. Obviously we're a Christian school, so, you know, that faith aspect and the opportunity, you know, if they do have any kind of a faith to really explore that. But at the same time, we're open to everybody, and we're more than happy to have people from all walks of life, all backgrounds. We're a diverse campus. We have, you know, I think over 100 internationals at this point, when you think of the percentage, you know, of internationals on our campus. We're being such a small campus is huge. And again, you know, all walks of life, all different kinds of people. And, you know, that's really cool. Like I say, it's really an environment where you're safe, it's friendly, it's a family feel, and you're really able to excel and do multiple things. You know, our girls aren't just necessarily soccer players. Some of them might be in band or choir, things like that. We have a girl in mock trial right now, which obviously is kind of academic related. You know, there's plenty of opportunities for them. We do also have a girl that plays softball as well. And as we're finding out, she's going to be in season with two sports this spring. So, you know, it's really a place where you have the opportunity to continue, you know, obviously with the passion, the love of soccer, and to be competitive and to compete, you know, in against really good teams within kind of Minnesota, Wisconsin. We even in non-conference go and play in Iowa sometimes. And but at the same time, you know, like I say, keeping that education up and making sure that the degree is that number one, you know, outside of obviously family, faith, things like that. But yeah, academics is the priority, but we take soccer seriously. And I think that's maybe the one thing that people don't realize about D3, right? I mean, it's a varsity program. It's a place where you're really putting in the time and effort that a lot of other programs, no matter what division they are putting into. So yeah, I'd say that's really the my main description, I guess. You know, and it would be bad of me to mention Bethany without mentioning the fact that we just built a brand new turf soccer field in October 2019. So the school's really investing in us as a soccer program, and obviously the men's team too. And we're super excited about that.
Yeah. You know, for those, especially for those that know me really well, excuse me, I'm a huge proponent, huge advocate for the D3 game, big fan of the D3 game, because it really empowers our student athletes to do so much more, you know, so, which is, you know, it's a testament to it. And yes, they do take, soccer seriously. Absolutely. You transition here, you're transitioning here. You all obviously didn't play in the fall of what would have been your traditional fall season, right, in 2020. And now you're playing in the spring in a strictly conference season in the UMAC, right? So what can we expect? Talk a little bit about what can we expect from Bethany Lutheran this spring, what that will look like, and then also what maybe we can expect from Bethany Lutheran beyond the spring.
Yeah, good question. So like you said, it's definitely just conference this spring, and we're pretty much going to be playing a midweek and then a weekend game pretty much through April and then into May. We've got 8 conference games scheduled, and then after that, basically the 9 and 8 will play off on the Monday, and then the top 4 bracket will play on the Wednesday and Saturday for the championship. The kind of bottom 4, whoever the 8, 9 kind of goes into that bottom 4, but the bottom 4 will play off as well to kind of get that 5th seed. So yeah, I mean, a lot to look forward to. You know, the fact that we're going to have the opportunity to play again, it is huge, and have, you know, obviously a conference tournament again. You know, not everyone has that, and we're very lucky and we know it. So I, like I said, I think just doing justice for the school, the program, and also the conference in really just being as competitive as we can, and trying to strategize how we're going to go about it, and you know, training every day, you know, and using every opportunity to get better and to be, you know, united front as a team. And that's really what I expect of the girls. I mean, you know, no matter whether it's a short season or long season, conference, non-conference, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for our girls to uphold our core values. And, you know, those are just as people, not necessarily soccer or academic related, right? Those are just what we expect of them as people. And obviously being hardworking, committed to the team is really important, you know, being a good teammate and being competitive and, you know, doing the absolute best that they can do is all we can ask.
She is Emma Morris, the head women's soccer coach of Bethany Lutheran College in D3 program in Mankato, Minnesota. Coach, this has been great. Thank you for all the information you provided. I understand you're going to stick around with us for one more segment, for our counterattack segment. So for our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Coach Morris. And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. You can check them out on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L, Athletic, as well as on their website at physicalathletics.com. So we're back for our counterattack segment via the Sun City Prep Academy hotline with Coach Emma Morris, the head women's soccer coach at Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. Coach, you survived the first segment. Now we get to have some fun with you. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Okay. So I'll fire away, ask the questions. We'll try to kind of go rapid fire as best as we can, kind of by association, whatever kind of comes to mind, we'll have some fun with it. All right. So as a coach, not as a player, but now as a coach, any pregame or postgame rituals?
Oh, goodness. I don't know that I do, really. I mean, obviously, you know, we like to get in the locker room, you know, before we go out to the pitch, and last minute words and things. And I don't know that I necessarily have anything in particular. As a player, I did. But yeah, I don't think I really do as a coach, to be honest.
Okay. No post game stuff either, right? Nothing in particular.
Not particularly. I mean, just a quick talk and, you know, and then obviously, you know, we typically go and get some food somewhere. You know, if it's a away game, if it's a home game, then I'm probably going on my own to get some food somewhere. So yeah, food probably.
Okay. All right. All right. So if not soccer, what's another sport that you would have coached?
Oh, would have coached. I mean, growing up, I really played a ton of different sports. And one in particular that I excelled at was field hockey, which is kind of the American name. We just call it hockey in England. But if I said that here, it'd obviously be ice. But yeah, field hockey was really the sport. I was probably actually slightly better at that than I was at soccer.
Wow.
And my dad was the soccer, you know, player. My mum was the field hockey. And eventually I got to a point where I had to pick one. So obviously I was going to upset a parent either way. Went with soccer because that's where my heart lies and my passion is. But yeah, I was probably slightly better at field hockey. So I'd say probably field hockey.
So it's so field hockey, though, or I guess hockey there, right? It's there in the UK. Is it really big? How big is it?
It's not huge once you get to, you know, kind of the open age and stuff. But in high school and smaller clubs, yeah, it's pretty big. Universities, obviously, it's pretty big as well.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, not so much when you get to kind of, well, I say that, but then we take the Olympics and things like that very seriously. So, right.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I never noticed that in my time, the time that I spent there, you know. So yeah, that's good to know. I learned something. So, all right. Now, what's another profession you would have done if not a coach in another life, another profession?
Wow. These questions are good questions. If I'm thinking probably non-sport related, mind you, you know, even through university, you know, a lot of the jobs I had in my mind were sports related in some way, shape or form, you know, sport management, things along that line. I think when I was younger, and to be honest, a lot of people don't know this, so you're getting really unique information here, but when I was younger, I was actually interested in becoming an air traffic controller. So,
oh wow,
yeah, that's something a bit kind of unique and different. But yeah, I don't know. I love planes. I love flying. I love the idea of airports. And yeah, I just think it would be cool to talk to the pilots and to really kind of guide them and things like that. Yeah. So yeah.
A little background information on me regarding that small world. I was very close to becoming, when I entered the Air Force, to becoming an air traffic controller, but they quickly realized that I had a hard time with sitting down in a certain place for too long, you know? So yeah, so they were just like, yeah, that's
there's not going to be many places to stand up and walk around when you're up there, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, they're like, yeah, that's not a good fit for you, man. That's not a good fit. All right. Okay, so now, during the pandemic, what's been maybe a favorite Netflix series or other show that you've been able to really dive into and binge watch?
Oh my goodness. Again, a great question. Lately I've been binge watching Chicago Fire in my free time. You know, my dad's a firefighter. That's another job. Nice. He's just actually in May, so you know, congrats to him.
Right. Yeah, it's awesome.
I guess, you know, things like that, you know, Station 19, those kind of shows are always pretty interesting to me. And I mean, that would have been another kind of job I could have seen myself in, would be kind of either a firefighter or maybe a cop, you know, that kind of role. So yeah, probably Chicago Fire.
Have you ever seen, so one of my favorite personal all-time favorite series, Rescue Me? Have you ever heard of that one on FX? Rescue Me?
No, I have not.
I don't know if that's on, if you can find it on Netflix or Amazon Prime Video, but it starts with Dennis Leary. It's called Rescue Me, and it's kind of post 9/11, the FDNY, you know, it's Really, really, really good series. Maybe ask your dad about it. He might know about it. But if you get
the chance, I'll have to check it out.
You get the chance, check it out. Okay,
yeah, we'll do.
All right. Favorite, and I kind of already know part of this answer, all right, because we share something in common a little bit here. Favorite and least favorite soccer team.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, you know, so I'm a Newcastle fan. I always joke that I'm unfortunately a Newcastle fan. We have some pretty tough times. I'll say that. It's very roller coaster being a Newcastle fan. But yeah, I mean, you know, I went to a few games, obviously, when I was younger. And, you know, that's one of the bigger clubs near me. And my granddad's a supporter. And so, yeah, it's definitely through family, not through choice. least, you know, that's harsh. It's harsh to come up with a least favorite.
Everybody has one, but the moment you put a mic in front of them and you ask them that, nobody wants to answer that. I don't know what
the here's the thing though, like, nobody dislikes the weaker teams, you know. It's always one of the big teams that you're gonna really upset a load of people. Mine would probably be Man United, and I'm about to get a load of bad comments.
There you go. All right, I like it.
I'm not a huge Man U fan. Just really haven't been. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, some of my best friends are Man U fans, and, you know, a lot of people I know are. So, yeah, I'm about to get told off. But,
yeah
I don't know what it is about them. But, probably Man U.
Yeah, as a coach, it's one can't help but you don't have to admire, but you definitely have to respect the, the pedigree and the record of Alex Ferguson, Sir Alex Ferguson.
Absolutely.
But as a team, you know, I really have tremendous respect for him. But as a team, I'm not. I can't say I'm a big, obviously a big United, Manchester United fan myself.
Yeah,
all right, so
I'm definitely intrigued to see how they end up at the end of the season.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting. All right, so now non-soccer related, favorite and least favorite team, non-soccer. So any other sport. You have a favorite and least favorite?
Oh, goodness. Again, you are firing some really good questions out.
The guy that writes these questions, man, he does great.
Yeah, there you go. No, I'm not honestly too sure. I mean, I just live and breathe soccer so much that thinking of nothing to do with soccer is hard. And you know what? There's so many, I'm sure, but I just can't off the top of my head think of any.
Okay, we'll come back to that.
Mine were all really to do with, again, soccer, but also just like, you know, like rivalries of schools we would play against, you know, when I was a player, you know, even as a coach. So it would be wrong to name them right now, I think.
So in your time that you've now been, you know, been in the States, been an American, right? You haven't developed a warmth and affiliation for a certain, you know, whether it's a basketball team, American football team, nothing, baseball team, nothing, hockey.
Well, you know, there's definitely a story there, but in terms of American football, so I've pretty much moved about the Midwest. I mean, as a player and as a coach, I've pretty much been everywhere in the Midwest, but not so much anywhere else. And so obviously, depending on the location of where I'm at the time, depends on what football team, you know, I technically should support, I guess. I've been in places where, you know, like the Packers is huge, Bears, things like that. But I don't know that I necessarily have. I mean, obviously Vikings now, you know, you definitely have to root for, right, in Minnesota. Yeah. But I don't know that I have like a particular one that I necessarily root for, nor do I have one that, you know, I really dislike. So I think it just depends on the location as to who I root for.
Okay. You might have already revealed the answer to this one, but secret or hidden talent that very few people know about you?
Yeah, I mean, field hockey would be one. I play guitar a little bit, so that would be another one. I definitely enjoy a bit of singing here and there, and the girls get to hear it on the way to games, you know, when we're in vans for those shorter trips. And yeah, I don't think they like it that much. How's about sing badly? We'll say sing badly.
There you go. No, that's my talent. That's my talent. You can't take that. All right. So next one. All right. So now soccer, some soccer shows here, some soccer related series. excuse me. All or Nothing, Tottenham, Sunderland Till I Die, season 2, and Ted Lasso. Assuming you've seen all three, do you have a favorite?
Well, I haven't seen the last one, but the first two, it's so hard to say your favorite is anything to do with Sunderland when you're a Newcastle fan. I'm probably going to go with Spurs for that reason. But to be honest, I mean, I enjoyed both of them equally. Also enjoyed the Leeds documentary as well. And to be honest, I mean, my dad and my brother are Leeds fans. So, nice. Yeah, I'm definitely in the minority when I'm in the English household. Especially now that they're in the Premier League again. You know, they haven't mentioned Leeds too many times until this year of late. So I make sure to let them know that.
It's funny how that works, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but probably Spurs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I had a while back, I want to say it was maybe episode 4. We had Randy Waldrum from Pitt was on here. And he also hit on the Leeds series. He really liked that one as well. So
yeah.
I actually haven't finished that one. I think I'm a couple episodes away from finishing that one. But you gotta watch the Ted Lasso one. You know, that one was kind of turned out to be like the surprise hit of 2020, you know? So
really?
Yeah, really good. Really good.
To be honest, I haven't heard of it. So yeah, I'll definitely have to. I really enjoyed the Sunderland one because you really got a good kind of behind the scenes of the running of a football club.
It was brutal. It was brutal. I thought season one was brutal, but season two was really, you know, you start talking about the pro promotion relegation and you're in that fight, and yeah, it was brutal.
It really was. And then I really enjoyed the kind of behind the scenes of the actual coaching, you know, in the meetings and
things
with players of the Spurs one. And I guess as a coach, you know, that's kind of where my heart is, so that's why I chose the Spurs one.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so different one here for you. So as a coach, what has been the most random thought that has entered your mind in the middle of a game?
Jeez.
You're coaching, you're yelling instructions or something, and then all of a sudden your mind just drifts off into La La Land.
Honestly, I don't even know how to answer. You know, if there's anything that anyone knows about me, it's just that I love soccer so much and I'm so passionate, and I try, yeah, everything I do 110%. I mean, there's no give. And so for me to have my mind switch in the middle of a game to something random, it just I can't think that it really would happen. I think the absolute, you know, furthest stretch of that I could go is, like, you know, I mean, if there's a plane flying overhead or something, you know, I wonder where that plane's going, something like that. Or, like, you know, someone in the crowd that I realize is in the crowd, you know, something like that. But yeah, I can't think of anything. I don't have a good answer for this. I'm sorry. I just know that my mind really does wander too much in the middle of a game.
That's all right. That's good. Hey, that was a good effort. All right. So final question. I asked this one to everybody as well. So post-pandemic, let's say you go back home, you visit family in England, everybody's coming over because Emma's home, and you're cooking, you're the chef. What are you cooking for everybody?
Well, first of all, my family will say I am not a good chef, and it is very unlikely that I would cook anything. That's what they'd say. If I had to choose... Oh man, I mean, I like a good lasagna. I like good spaghetti bolognese, which, you know, obviously over in the States, we call it meat sauce. So probably one of those two, but with a lot of help, a lot of guidance. You know, I mean, obviously a standard fish and chips, you know, any of those, you know, English stereotypical dishes. And then I think the one that I think would be a, well, not surprise to people who know me or that grew up in Yorkshire or anything, but Yorkshire puddings, if there's anyone out there that has not ever had a Yorkshire pudding, they are the best things ever, especially with like mince and gravy and things like that. You have to have Yorkshire puddings, and they are not puddings in the sense of like desserts, and that's where people get really confused. Why would you have that with mince or gravy or carrots or peas or, you know, whatever? But yeah, look Yorkshire puddings up, because I'm telling you, they will change your life.
There we go. So I'm going to take you up on that. This has been tremendous, Coach. We definitely appreciate having you on. You hit on a lot of great things. We got to know a little bit more about you as well. So for our listeners that may be out there, they want to find out more information on, you know, Bethany Lutheran College, on Coach Emma Morris, as far as, you know, sites, you know, social media, where can they get more information on Bethany Lutheran College, your program, and Coach Morris?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And it's always great getting to speak to you and obviously talk all things soccer and non-soccer too, and just crazy world we live in right now. So right. I appreciate your opportunity you've given me to really, you know, get this out there and talk. In terms of social media, so yeah, I do have my own account, which I think is EBMorris04, I believe is my Twitter account. I think it's the same for my Instagram. And then, you know, for the Bethany team, so we have Instagram, we have Twitter, we have Facebook, and all of them are either BLCW Soccer or BLCW Sock. So if you try those out, you know, that it'll come up with the right one on all the accounts. So.
All right. Awesome. Thank you again for everything. This has been great. Keep fighting the good fight. Love what you're doing up there. Year two, definitely changing your, you know, the culture there, implementing your program. And we expect great things. Again, she's Coach Emma Morris, one of the young up and coming coaches. Look her up, look up information for her program, Bethany Lutheran College up in Mankato, Minnesota. Don't go anywhere, listeners. We'll be right back after a short word from our sponsors.